This is the City Place Church Podcast. Here at City Place, we build dreams, ignite faith, and establish leaders that win the lost for God's kingdom. From wherever you're listening, we hope that you are empowered by the message.
Come on, everybody. I don't know about you, but I love worship. I say it every single week. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And when you and I push into God's presence, we should go into his presence with full expectation. I love worshiping with you. And I know we're not worshiping together this morning. You're at home and I'm here in the studio just lifting up the name of God with you. But I want you to let the presence of the Lord really just be your guide this morning, because I promise you what God wants to say is going to challenge you and I. I hope that you're ready. Small groups, signups are here. This Labor Day weekend, I'm telling you, you want to jump into community. There's so much information you can find on cityplacechurch.com/citygroups. We are excited to do life with you. As always, if this is your first time here, my name is Damon. I, along with my wife, her name is Taisha, and we are the lead pastors of City Place Church, and we welcome you here this morning. Do me a favor, if you will you type new right now in the comment section? Just let me know your name, you're new here, but also if you've been hanging out with us for more than a week or so, tell us your name and where you're watching from. Our team is literally eagerly waiting to welcome you. So go ahead and do that. I'm not going to take a long time, but go ahead, you do that. Again, welcome to City Place Church. And this morning I'm going to be preaching. The notes are available for you at cityplacechurch.com/notes. But let's get ready to go this morning. We have a saying here that we say we lean in level 10. And level 10 for us means that we remove the distractions. We engage in what God is going to say. This is the dialogue back and forth. And then we take notes. And so if you have your Bibles, turn me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Last week, I continued in our series Frequency, but I gave a new spin with a message called Just One More Thing. And I talked about a show that my parents used to watch when they were kids. It was called Columbo. And right before Columbo would arrest somebody, he'd say, I just have one more thing. And we didn't want to jump from one series to the next series. We really wanted to pause and see what God had to say. And I have to be honest with you, I left last week's time together with you and felt like the Lord was like, Damon, I'm not done yet. Because see, if you and I aren't careful, the thing that God is depositing in us, it has to resonate. It has to be stirred up on the inside of us so that we act on it. And I'm going to stay right here one more week because I've got one more thing to share with you. And I believe that if we lean into all that God is saying, we will continue to grow stronger and stronger in him. And so we're going to jump into Acts chapter 12 today. And I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit last week. I'm not going to retell the message from last week, but I'm going to pull some of the thoughts from last week into this week's message. And then we can just go have a good time. So are you ready? Come on, everybody lean in level 10. Y'all know how we do. So let's go. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says this. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, everybody say constant prayer, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Everybody say the church. Good. I can hear you where you are. Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two prisoners. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So there was two soldiers beside him, and then there was another set of soldiers guarding the prison doors. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by Peter, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell on his hands. Pause right there. I got a little bit more to read, but watch. Get this imagery. Peter is bound in chains. And if you start at the beginning of Acts chapter 12, Peter and the disciples have been preaching the gospel. And it says that Herod was getting frustrated because the gospel message was advancing. And so he was having some of the apostles killed. And it says that since he had killed one, he wanted Peter. And so he went and he bound Peter and put him in prison. And when you read it, it says that he grabbed four squads of four soldiers to guard Peter. And it says that Peter was in this prison. Now get the imagery. Peter is in the prison. There's four squads of four soldiers. There's soldiers at the door, and there's two soldiers by Peter, and Peter's in the middle with two sets of chains bound by him. There was so much power and so much authority flowing in Peter. Peter was making such an impact in his city, in his community, all around, to where the enemy said, I've got to put double on him because the power that's flowing through him is hard to contain. That's not even in the message. Can I tell you that you possess so much power that the enemy is afraid of us when we decide that we are going to speak and move and minister on God's behalf? He's going to throw blows. That's why in this time of crazy season, we have to identify that this is part of the enemy's plot. And so he is trying to get us held down. And so the Bible says that the church was praying for Peter, and Peter is in the middle of a situation. But the Bible says that an angel came and was standing right beside Peter. I see everything in stories. And so Peter, if you can imagine with me, get the imagery. Peter's in the middle. Two soldiers are right here. And the Bible says that the angel was standing beside Peter. Wait a second. Two soldiers, but the angel is standing beside Peter. So imagine the angel has somehow got in between the circumstance and the noise of Peter's life and said, I just want you to know that God's word is true. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Can I tell you that in the middle of whatever the crazy season is of your life, the tangible things that we can see all around us, God says, I've given angels to just step in right beside you. And the Bible says that the angel goes, yo, Peter, get up. It's time to go. I love how in the middle of the crazy, in the middle of the things that the enemy would try to keep us down, God says, I've got a way of escape for you because I will never leave you or forsake you. That's for free. Let's keep going. It says this in verse number 8. It says, and then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to Peter, put on your garment and follow me. And so Peter went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, remember, four squads of four guards, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel said, I'm gone. The angel departed. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angels and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Paul's right there in verse 11. Peter says, there's a verse in Psalms chapter 91 that says, for he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And that angel that he will send is going to lift me up lest I dash my foot against a stone. Peter said, the word of God truly is true in my life, that he will send angels to bring me out from the noise to a place of peace. Can I tell you today that if you and I will stand on God's word and realize that when God makes a promise for us, his word will be true. In the middle of crazy, in the middle of noise, God says, I've already released deliverance and freedom in your life. Peter says, this is not a dream. This is God showing up for me. I've been faithful to hear his promises. I've been faithful to speak and declare his word. Peter says, God has proven faithful even when the enemy tried to attack. This morning, I couldn't leave. I couldn't leave the frequency series, and I couldn't leave last week without just giving you, in the words, come on, of Columbo, one more thing. I felt like God was like, I want everyone to know that Daniel from last week, you have to see last week's message, part one of One More Thing. We talked about Daniel and how Daniel was praying for 21 days. And we said that when Daniel was praying, God sent an angel to Daniel and said, Daniel, from the first day you prayed, I was on the move, but I had to fight past some things to deliver to you my word. Last week. I've got one more thing because I wanted all of us, and I felt like God was saying, I want to prove to every single person that I'm not just a one occurrence God. I'll be faithful before, I'll be faithful during, and I'll be faithful even to the end. And so this morning I've got, come on, one more thing. And it says that in verse 12, it says, so when he had considered that the angel of God had brought him through, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered there together praying. Remember, we said the church was praying earlier. In verse 13, it says, so Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open up the door. She ran into the house and announced, Peter is here. Peter is here. And Peter just stood at the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. We in here praying. We in here asking God to deliver Peter. Ain't no way Peter's at the door. But she kept insisting, I am telling you, since we've been praying, this is me ad-libbing on the verse, y'all. Since we've been praying, since we've been seeking God, since we've been asking God to bring Peter out, she kept insisting, the Bible says. And they said, no, it's just an angel. Now, Peter continued knocking. And when, watch now, they opened the door and saw Peter, they were astonished. Here is a group of people in constant prayer, similar to Daniel, praying and seeking God. God, show up for Peter. God, bring him out. God, you're not finished with him yet. The same way we've been praying, God, break the back of COVID. God, show up in our community. God, we command unity. God, we command health. God, we command freedom. God, we command provision. The same way we've been praying is the same way they were in constant prayer. And so if there's just a couple of things that I can remind you of, last week we said that we have to remember to be committed to what we have focused on doing. This week, as I read in scripture, the Bible says that they were in constant prayer. So just one more thing this morning. I want you to focus on the fact and write this down, that we have to be committed to constant prayer. We have to be committed to constant prayer. We have to be committed to constant communication with the Father. We can't just pray one time when there's an enemy who is out to throw a blow and to distract us. No, I will be committed to constant prayer. The Bible says that they were in constant dialogue in prayer. And it wasn't just about them. They wanted to see a change in the life of somebody else. So after you have prayed for yourself, let's pray for somebody else. We haven't stopped praying since 21 days of prayer ended. In fact, we said this last week. We said that we're building upon what God has already started, because he is faithful then, he'll be faithful now, and he'll be faithful even to the end. And so you and I have to be committed to constant prayer. Pastor Damon, what do you mean? I don't know if I can pray all day. You don't have to pray all day, but you should include God in everything you do. Go to the store, take him with you. Going out to eat, take him with you. At home relaxing, God, you're welcome here. There has to be a constant focus on my dialogue with God the Father. And the Bible says that Peter was in one place, but they were in constant prayer. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Don't stop communicating and talking to and dialoguing with God. We said in our frequency series that our focus was to be able to listen to and for God's voice in every thing we do. I don't know about you, but in this time of life, I want God to speak clearly and I want to hear him clearly. God, I need you every single moment of the day. I don't want to be void without your presence. I don't want to be void without your voice at no time of my day. Come on, can we just pause right now? I know I'm preaching and I know you're sitting there watching, but can we pause right now and say, God, I need you right now. Come on, say that with me. Say, God, I need you right now. There is not a moment that I want to be void of your voice. I am going to be constant in my relationship with you. One more thing. We want to be focused and committed to constant prayer. Here's what I realize. Watch now. It says that they were in constant prayer for Peter. And it says, but that prayer was being done by the church. That there was a group of people who had gathered together and said, we, I said this last week, we are the change agents. We are the ones who represent heaven's agenda and God's kingdom authority on the earth. So I realized that as I was looking in this story, because I've just got one more thing, y'all. Listen, before we go to the next series, God wants to declare to you, watch now, that a praying church is a powerful church. A praying church is a powerful church. A church that is focused on dialoguing with God and declaring his word and declaring his promises and standing in the gap for somebody else when they gather together. A praying church is a powerful church. Listen what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 through 9. And I want you to identify who Jesus is talking to. Because in the book of Acts chapter 12, it says that Peter was the one that was in the chains when the angel showed up, but the church was praying. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to Peter. And it says that Jesus had been asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? Some of the disciples said, well, some say you are Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. But Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And then Peter, his name was Simon at the time, he said, hey, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then let's pick back up. Now, Jesus dialogues. He says, now, Peter, you have replied well. Blessed are you, in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. Jesus says, the time you've been spending with the Heavenly Father brought you more revelation of who the Son is. Can I tell you that the more time you spend with the Father, the more revelation and understanding we get of the Son. See, when we spend more and more time in constant prayer, in constant relationship with the Father, we get a revelation of the power that resides in the Son. Come on, somebody. And Jesus says this, he says this, and I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Starting with you, Peter, you are the church, Peter, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The gates of hell will not overcome the church. Can I tell you, the gates of hell cannot overcome the church of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you boldly that you are the church? Come on, get cocky. I am the church. Come on, I am the church. Jesus says, upon you, the gates of hell can't overcome you. Peter stuck in a prison. Guard over here. Guard over here. Guards at the front door. Four squads with four guards. God, I remember what you told me in an earlier conversation with your son. This is not the outcome. You told me that nothing will prevail. And the church, the Bible says, is praying. But listen what else Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 16, he says in verse 19, he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let me tell you again, you are the church of Jesus Christ. I am the church of Jesus Christ. City Place family watching literally all across the world in the United States, we are the church of Jesus Christ. The church down the road, the church in your city, wherever you're watching from, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And a praying church is a powerful church. Praying in your home, there's power in your home. When you go to your job, if you claim and you walk the territory and you say, this belongs to you, Lord God, there is power residing in you. And the Bible says that I've given you keys to the kingdom. The church has the keys. You have access to the keys of the kingdom. And he says, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. And so back to Acts chapter 12, it says that they are praying. God, do it for Peter. God, we command that Peter will be set free. He hasn't even begun to make an influence. God, we're standing in the gap. God, we thank you that it's because of the upper room experience that we have a relationship with you. Read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. God, we thank you that our lives were changed because you did some mighty miracles, and we're going to stand in the gap, not just for us, but for him, because we are the church. And we've heard the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we declare, as we pray tonight for Peter, God, we declare that a praying church is a powerful church. Which leads me to pull a point in from last week, that constant prayer sets things in motion. Can't help but to believe that as soon as they start to pray, that God said, angel, get him. And the angel stood beside Peter and said, Peter, it's time to go. Grab your clothes and let's go. Write this down. Constant prayer sets things in motion. You taking notes? I'm shooting it off to you. Ready? Don't abort what you've committed in prayer. I said that last week, and I felt like as I was studying this week, I felt like God said, I want you to hammer in on this one. Don't abort what you've committed to in prayer. Don't abort what you've committed to in prayer. We read a verse last week in James chapter 1. It says, now, when you ask of the Father, ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Do not abort what you've committed to in prayer. In my mind, I see this tension, where we go to God sometimes and we say, God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you for this. And God's like, go. And then we come on the other side and we say, God, you're not going to do it. And God's like, ho, wait a second. Whoa. I don't know what they're asking of me now. We just released the arsenal of heaven and now they're over here going, but God, you're not going to do it. Whoa. Let's see where their faith is. The Bible says in James that if we're not careful, we ask of something from God, and then we say, God, we really don't want it. We ask of something from God, and then we say, God, we really don't want it. See, you and I have got to be careful that we don't let the words of our mouth block the faith that we once displayed. See, we are the church, and the gates of hell cannot overcome it. So there has to be a warning. Let's not abort what we've committed. Let's not let all of heaven say, let's go. And then we turn around and say, no, we don't believe you. You can do it. In fact, let me jump into scripture. It says that Peter walks out and knocks on the door. And it says that Rhoda answers the door. And Peter says, it's me. And Rhoda goes, it's Peter. It's Peter. And she runs and she says, Peter's here. Peter's here. Peter's here. Oh my God, Peter's here. And they look at her and say, Peter is not here. You are crazy. You are out of your mind. We're over here praying And you're coming in here and you're telling us that Peter's outside. See, this scripture gives us context that sometimes if we're not careful, we could literally abort what God has released and it's at the door. The promise of God for your life is at the door. And if we're not careful, because we could be living in this, I don't know if God could respond that fast, or we don't know how long they have been praying. Maybe we're like, God's been taking too long, and I don't know if he'll ever show up for me. If we're not careful, the Bible says that God releases the promise. And if we're not careful, we could say, God, hold on. I just don't believe that that's for me no more. Whoa! Do not abort what we've been asking God, what you've been asking God to do in your life. I know that seems like tough to think about, because we're hoping that God will force feed the thing into our life, because sometimes we'll get mad if we feel like God's force feeding us. No. God's like, trust me 100%. Don't let me go. Because from the first day, this is what we read last week, from the first day, God says, already released it. But there's a war going on in the spiritual realm. Do not abort what you've committed in prayer. And the Bible says that they're like, girl, you crazy. You beside yourself. You out your mind to really think that God would show up just like that. We've been in here praying all night. We don't know how long they've been praying. We've been holding on. Do you think it would turn like that? That Peter would just show up tonight? After we've been praying this long, have you ever been in that place where you've toggled between what looked like the season was changing, but you've been holding on for so long that you struggled to believe? Have there been moments over these last 5.5 months where you could see an end only to have that hope felt like it was dashed because, oh, this tension and that tension and this situation and that situation. Oh, I don't know. And no, I don't know if God will show up in 2020. We're going to wait for 2021. Oh, no. We're not going to abort what we committed to in prayer. And the Bible says that as they go, girl, you beside yourself. She goes, No. You are not going to have me abort what I know. No, we've been praying, and I'm telling you that the blessing of God is at the door. I am telling you that the breakthrough that we've been praying through is at the door. I am telling you that the tension is being released. I'm telling you that the peace is being brought. I'm telling you that the breakthrough is here because we prayed. And I'm not going to quiet down. You ain't going to quiet me down. I am not crazy. I am standing on God's word. Peter is at the door. Peter is at the door. I am telling you, I am not letting go of God's promise. Can I tell you, in this moment of time, do not abort what God has spoken to you for 2020. Do not abort. Just one more thing. One more thing. Don't abort God's promise. You look and you insist. You insist, no. If God be for me, who could be against me? No. I walk in healing. My community is going to experience peace. My family is going to be brought back together. My family members are going to be saved. I'm not letting go because I've been holding on. I've been in constant prayer, and this constant prayer is taking me some time, but I am not going to let go. Why? Because a praying church is a powerful church. I am the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. I will not forget what I have focused on. I am not aborting what I'm committing to in prayer. And in fact, I am going to decree with committed expectation what I know God is going to do. She said, Peter is here. That was our point from last week. We decree with committed expectation. Peter is here. And I'm telling you, your blessing is outside the door. It says that she goes inside and she says, I'm declaring to you all with full confidence and expectation that Peter's at the door. Can I just declare to you that the blessing of God is as rich now in this moment of 2020 as you were expecting it to be at the beginning of the year? Before everything that we see started creating the noise. Can I tell you that the blessing of God for your family, for your life, is as rich as it was when you trusted God in January? All over social media, and I've got to be honest with you, I've been like, Lord, whoo, 2020. But I want to declare to you the blessing of God for your life, the prayers you've been asking God to show up. God's like, 2020, don't abort my word. Decree with full expectation. Here's the reason why. It's because when we stay committed to God, when we trust Him, something happens when we push past that place where we could throw in the towel. Peter's in prison. You mean to tell me 2 chains? Isn't that like a rap artist? 2 chains? 2 chains? 2 guards? 4 squads of 4? 2 gates to the guard post? You mean to tell me that this is it? But God, I do remember that you told me that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, and I am the church. Can I tell you that when you hold firm to the thing that you committed to do in your relationship with God, Father, I'm committed to you. I'm not letting you go. When you stay committed and you push past that point where the enemy's trying to take you out, here's what happens. Your commitment to your Father in heaven, your commitment to pray, breaks the back of your enemy. See, if we as the church, you are the church. I am the church. If we will stay committed in our relationship with God, God, I'm telling you, I am committed to you. If we stay committed to our Father in heaven and stay in constant communication with God, there is a breaking of the back of the enemy. You have to watch last week's, but the Bible says that Daniel prayed. And when he prayed, it says that the angel that had tapped Daniel on the shoulder said, I had to bring all of heaven's arsenal to break the back of the enemy. When we read in Acts chapter 12, we find that the angel goes, Peter, it's time to go. God sent an angel to bring him out. Chains fell. When you read the end of the story, it says that Herod was so mad that Herod turned on his own guards and said, I'm going to kill you. Why? Because there was a people who was committed to what the Father could do. This morning, your commitment to God the Father, listen to me, will break the back of your enemy. Only you know what you've been walking through in this crazy season of life. We can see the things happening all around us, pandemic, different tensions, but there are things that the enemy's tried to bring into your own home, and I'm telling you, now is the time for us to say, God, no, I am standing in constant relationship with you. Why? Because by the time I push past every single thing, you're breaking the back of our enemy. Can I tell you that God is more powerful than every bit of the noise that's around us right now? Every bit of tension, pandemic, sickness, God is so much greater, and He wants to break the back of your enemy. You know, I thought of one more thing as we were reading this story. I thought about Rhoda's response. The Bible says that when there was a knock on that door and she heard the sound of Peter's voice, she went crazy. And I felt like God said, if they could just get a sound of my voice and turn just the echo and the whisper of my voice, if they could just go to praise me before, in the middle, and in the end, oh, they will live in a place where they're constantly focused on me. The Bible says this, and I'm wrapping up, in Psalms 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually, constantly This morning, as we end service, I just want to speak life to you. Most of 2020 has been filled with emotional highs and emotional lows. But just one more thing. One more thing. What if we turned our prayer and constant prayer before the Father, and we added in that prayer some praise before, during, and at the end? Father, I will bless you at all times, and your praise will continually be in my mouth. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 10 seconds, and I want you to praise God right where you are. I want you to declare how amazing he is. Come on, give him a 10-second praise break. Come on, right where you are. Father, we love you. God, we honor you. God, I just declare that you are holy. You have not left us. You are still keeping us. God, you are faithful to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever hope, ask, or imagine, or think. And God, you are faithful now. God, in the middle of what is craziness, God, your promise to us, to our family, to City Place Church is true. Come on, praise God before, during, and in the end. Even that's, if that's just one more thing, you can give it. One more. As we wrap up today, I've been praying for you because I know that God is not through with fulfilling his promises in your life. And some of you haven't even started a relationship with the Lord yet. You're watching me and you're like, yeah, I get it. And I appreciate the motivation. That's good and all, but I don't know. No, I want to speak life to you and just tell you that Jesus Christ died for you. I say it consistently every week. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you, that he comes and he lives on the inside of you. It's simple. In fact, God loved you so much that he gave Jesus to die for you, to take away all of your sins. And just a simple act of faith. And the Bible says that a relationship begins. And he comes and he lives on the inside of your life. And so this morning, it would be my honor to pray with you. It's really simple. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to leave you hanging by yourself. In fact, all of the City Place family is going to pray a prayer with you. You ready? Come on. Say this prayer to me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I come to you. I need you. I don't want my life to miss anything. I need you now. I acknowledge that you died for me and you rose again. And today, I accept you freely as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. It was that simple. Come on, City Place, can we make some noise? Come on, make some noise right now for the decisions that were made today. Come on, the Bible says that when one person accepts Jesus, all of heaven throws a party. Do y'all think heaven has a DJ? I don't really know, but it says that all of heaven throws a party. And so we celebrate you today. And if you will, there's just a couple of things I would love for you to do. The first thing is if you would fill out a virtual connect card. You can fill it out at cityplacechurch.com/card. Just put your information on there. Just let us know that you made a decision today. The second one is that if you don't feel comfortable with the virtual card, just shoot us a text, 407-393-8426, and just put your name. Yes, I accepted Jesus. Our team wants to celebrate with you. You know, we've got small groups coming up. I said that there would be two steps. The first one is just let us know you made the decision. The second one is just hop into a community. There's virtual communities, and then there'll be communities that you can gather together in person. But we would love to do life with you. We would love to celebrate and walk alongside you as much as you allow. And so there'll be information on how to get involved in a small group. We call them city groups here. And so come on, can we just celebrate those that made a decision today? And the final thing that we do here at City Place Church, we worship the Lord with our giving. We believe that being generous is part of our kingdom assignment. In fact, this past week, we talked about it last week, we provided some tasty treats to some of the teachers that are serving so many children here in Orlando. We just said we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We've been getting feedback of just the workload, and we just said we want to be a blessing. And so I want to say thank you for that, because it's part of your giving that allows us to do that. And I also want to say thank you for allowing City Place, because of your giving, to be a blessing right here in our community to families inside of our church, but literally in our community as well. Just know that City Place is going to be the hands and feet of Jesus as best as we can, and we're going to lead well. And so I'm going to pray, and I know that you're going to have an amazing week in Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we love you today. I thank you for just allowing us the opportunity to come into your house and to just celebrate all that you've done. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. I thank you, Lord God, for those that accepted you today and those that are giving, whether it's online or via text. God, we honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I can't wait to see you, and all the information you need to give is already online. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can share with your friends. Take a screenshot, post on your social media stories, and tag us at City Place Church.